Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
I like being an artist.
Yes. Okay, so we have a bad habit of talking before the show, and invariably that discussion ends up being an hour long, and then we actually record the show. So we cut ourselves off today because then we end up saying the same thing twice because, yeah, so everything's fresh, not been discussed before today. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because, yeah. New material.
I do the same thing with Jennifer and the same thing with Debbie. You know, it'd be an hour's past. Oh, we probably should record the show. Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Okay, reminder now, no stitch hour tonight. Not tonight. No stitch hour tonight. Marg and I will be in church praying for everyone's sorry little butts. So there we go.
and we need lots of that. We need lots of prayer.
Do we all. And then we're putting together things for the Spring Hill Stitch Along, the Rosewood Manor Karen Kluba Spring Hill Design, that we're going to start on January 1. And Needle in a Haystack, Kathy Ray, Needle in a Haystack, is sponsoring the Stitch Along. And so we're in the middle right now of putting together the threads and kits that Kathy will offer. I mean, obviously you can do your own, you know, nobody's saying you can't do your own, but what the plan is that we're going to have a kit that Jennifer's stitching, and that'll be DMC, and a kit that I'm stitching, and that's going to be a mixture of silks. Kathy's already put that together, NPI, Soie d'Alger, and there's some Rainbow Gallery in there. Mm-hmm. I think that was
Splendor.
Yeah. Splendor, yes. Splendor, that was what. So she's put that together. That's beautiful.
It is gorgeous.
Yep. Going to do it on an off-white. And then we're working on Beth's.
Because I got to be trouble.
Yeah. No, actually, so Kathy's got a couple of options that she's working on for Beth. And then once we get that settled down and Kathy figures out pricing, then we'll be able to announce the kits. So you'll have three choices, Gary, Beth, and Jennifer. An off-white linen. I mean, you can do what you want, obviously. But we're trying to make this simple for people who just, you know, give me a kit. So we're all on off-white or cream linen, not sure what. And then, of course, Ada, you can do Ada, particularly with the DMC. If you prefer to do it on Ada, that's an option too. So it should be pretty simple to approach for anyone at all levels and all interests. And but three different sets of thread is the plan. So you can just pick Beth, Jennifer, or Gary and go with those or put your own thing together. But anyway, so Kathy's putting that all together, and we'll have kits and we'll have photos of the threads for us and pricing and everything. So that's coming up very soon. We're in the middle of that right now. To do it three different ways takes time on Kathy's part to just sit there and figure out what threads will work. But the one she did for me, the silks, the combination, because I was hoping to do MPI, but it just won't work across the board, but it looks great, I think.
Yeah, the colors are, you sent me a photo of that, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous colors.
Yeah.
Well, and the piece is gorgeous anyway. The colors on it are so vibrant. I just love it. So whatever she picks, she's got a great eye. She does have a good eye for color. So whatever she picks will be wonderful.
Yes. And you're exactly right. Yeah, the colors are just vibrant in that design. It's really nice. So this is going to be fun. And I'm doing mine on 40 count. I'm not sure what Jennifer's doing, but I'm doing mine on 40 count. And then we'll see what Beth does. It depends on what threads come together.
Right.
Yeah, because you're looking at, one option that she's working on is 100/3.
Right. And the problem will be that is, you know, can she get the colors? I think that's 46 count. I think that's probably what it'll end up being. So I'll need my my put on the nose glasses and plenty of light for that one.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was the thing, because I was hoping to do it all in MPI silks, but the color range just isn't there. And so then she ended up, and that, you know, happens a lot. Soile d'Alger has the range. And so she put that together because Karen specs it in Sullivan threads. So that's another option. I mean, that's what is specced on the chart, DMC and Sullivan.
Right.
So that's another option for people who are interested. We're just, the three of us have just chosen to go elsewhere. So,
right.
And I love the silks. So, yeah.
they'll look gorgeous. Yeah. They're just going to look gorgeous.
Yeah,
I'm just really curious to see what she's going to come up with if she can get the 103s to work.
Yeah. Well, even if she can get, even if she can get most of them to work and then drop in a couple of others, I don't know what else is available, but still, yeah. Yeah.
I think Tudor is the same. I think it's a thinner thread, the Tudor is.
Uh-huh.
From Gloriana.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Yeah. It might, I don't know, Tudor versus 103. They might be pretty much the same diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely thinner than Soile d'Alger. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Ha. It'll be fun. Yep. No matter what we end up with.
Yep.
January 1st.
That's right. That's our big kickoff. So we're getting that together. We'll announce it just as soon as Kathy has things organized. And normally it would have happened faster, but we really wanted to offer three different sets for each of us. So just to have a different approach to a stitch along. So Kathy's kind enough to not only sponsor the show, or the stitch along, but also to go to the trouble to put these things together. So, and of course, obviously support her. If you're going to participate, please support Kathy and Needle in a Haystack. Whether you go with one of those three or something else, please support her because she's been kind enough here to support us and make this happen. So, yes. December 2nd is when we return with Wednesday Nights, and that's the Cindy Baldwin show that we had all put together, and then YouTube pulled the rug out from under us. So, still looking for people who want to do Wednesday shows with us. It's real easy to do. Just send me an email and we'll set you up. It's not painful at all, and it's a lot of fun. You get to talk about your work and your experiences with it, and it's fun. So looking for people to do that. I guess that's really it, isn't it?
I think so. I think that's all the announcement.
Wow.
At least right now.
seems like we're short half a dozen. This just ain't right.
I know. All right. So I got a question to ask you.
Okay.
So January 1st, we're starting Spring Hill. When are we starting the White Work Sampler?
That, I believe, starts right at the beginning of January, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. So, just jump in with both feet, huh?
Why not? Yeah. If I don't know if we've made it real clear. Beth and I have purchased the White Work Sampler class program journey with Trish and Wynn at Thistle Threads. I think it's more of a journey now that I look at it.
It is a journey. Yeah.
It's just not a class. Yeah.
Unless you're very dedicated and that's, you're just going to concentrate on that one piece, it might be a class, but I have a feeling for us, it's going to be more like a journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was one of the questions, you know, can we do it at our own pace? Yes, you can. Good. Then good. We're in.
We're in. We can do it. We can work at our own pace.
And I don't know if there are slots left, but if you're interested, 17th Century Samplers, Thistle Threads, Trish and Wynn, check it out if you're interested in that kind of thing. Now, we were talking the other day about, you asked me how I was going to get organized for that thing.
Right.
And I said I was just going to print out all the pages and put them in a binder. And then you said, well, think about that.
Not unless you have a professional printer. I don't remember. How many pages did we figure out it was? It was like 450. I mean, it's a huge. It's a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a book. I think the class is closed. I'm going to I haven't looked lately, but a friend sent me a note saying she thought it was closed.
Oh, okay.
But get on her newsletter because I think she will have, she'll be offering some other things. She offers other courses, but she talked on your last live show. She talked about she had books in her. Well, she's already written one. She's got this casket course, which is a book.
Yes. We'll speak about you getting sucked into the casket thing in just a minute.
Oh. Okay, that's later. Wait.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hold that little nightmare for later.
It's not a nightmare.
Beth, the queen of willpower. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Someone has to have it, right?
Yeah. So you were calculating. I think it was like 300 or 400 pages for this.
It's huge.
White work sampler thing. And so, I'm not printing all those out. That's not happening. So I did, because we signed up ahead of time. And then if you sign up ahead of time and pay the full boat, then you get access immediately to the classes going on now. So I decided to put the class, the pages for me, in my iPad Pro in my GoodNotes app. So I sat down one night here just two or three nights ago, and it took, I'm glad I didn't print them out, because it took the better part of the evening to download, I think it was the first seven lessons. Mm-hmm. Are available, right. First seven or eight. And it took the better part of the evening to download those and get them organized in my GoodNotes app. And with each passing one, it's like, oh, I'm glad I didn't print these out a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And so here's my question, because I have downloaded them and they are on my Google Drive. And I was complaining to my children. I said, so what happens is it says 17th century white work, and then all you see is gobbledygook. So it's like you look at it and you cannot see what lesson it is, and it's not any way organized. It's just downloaded onto there. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh, what a mess. So now I've got to – so did you put them into – I did separate them. There's like a lesson and then there's history notes. So there's two separate – things.
Right.
And I did separate that out.
Yes.
But how do you, are you separating each lesson into its own folder? Does that make sense?
No, I have not gotten that far. And that's interesting. And we're talking about this because this was huge and it's complex, but it's also applicable to other situations like this where you sign up for a long-term course. How do you organize it? No, I dumped them in sequential order. And so I in my GoodNotes app, I can just go through them like a book.
Okay.
So I just have them like that. But now that you raise the question, it starts to make me think that I should organize them in separate folders. Because I think we're going to want to take pictures. Well, I know we're going to want to take pictures as we go.
Right.
And so to organize those photos is going to, I think you're right. I think I'm going to have to change my, which for me, the way they're in now, it's no big deal to do it. But I think it's interesting procedure, because if you're going to do a long-term class like this where there's multiple lessons or multiple steps,
right,
you know, there's technology really offers some real advantages to help you get organized. And I'm not worried about getting organized, because that is just dumping files somewhere, but I'm thinking about it in terms of, as you're learning, making notes and right. And those kinds of things, so that you have it as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that's where the real, you know, kind of the rubber hits the road thing.
Right. And my problem is I'm still kind of old school. I'm used, like, I take notes on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Still, which of course makes my children laugh. and so for me to put that's going to be a whole new, another, that's another level of learning I'm going to have to do to take notes on a document. I'm not very, I know I've done it and I know I can learn how to do it. I'm not afraid of that, but it's just, it adds another level. Yeah. And I think it would be, but it would be hugely helpful. I've got classes I've taken and I've completed them where I printed them and, but they'd be so nice. Like I was trying to reference something and I was mm-hmm. like, okay, now I've got to go find those notes, dig the paper out.
Yeah.
Where it'd be easy, you know, you have it on the computer, you just search what you're looking for and it'll pop up, at least the whole file will, and then you can search from there.
Right. Well, see, that's, you know, and this gets, I mean, we're talking about this obviously because it gets to the whole thing of, because people who cross stitch and I've done it, putting their charts on Goodreader or some other app, and then you can use a highlight tool and mark off what you've stitched.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think that we need to start look. If you do a lot of projects, you need to start looking at converting these to some electronic format. For this very reason, storage, tracking, everything else.
Right, right. It'd be, and it's just, it's easier to go back and look at those notes, to look at something if it's on a searchable computer. My kids were laughing at me because I have all my recipes on sheets of paper, and I sent one of them to get it down. It's up in a high closet. And I said, get that down for me so I can look for something. And all he did is he handed it to me and shook his head because he was like, we could make this into a searchable file on an electronic device for you, Mom. And I'm like, oh, I kind of like the paper. He's like, oh, Luddite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, I know. But
I know. But I think it's just, you know, some of that is fear of the new technology, but I know they're right. It would be so much easier. And I do see people, they're like, they're doing some of those huge HADES and they've got it on their
right
device and they can mark it off. They can mark off that they've done all the blue triangles right. or whatever. And man, that would be so much nicer than this. Oh, did I remember to mark everything?
Yep.
You know, or, you know, it's not highlighted or whatever. It's just, there's so many great applications there. And I need to get over it.
Yeah. Well, but and that's just it. It's the technology hump. You just need mm-hmm. to suck it up and go through that learning curve to, right. And then I think when you get to the other side of it, then you realize, oh, this, you know, this is so much easier. And you're exactly right. Like a course like this, WhiteWork sampler, even just to store it on a Google Drive, cloud drive, to store it there or OneDrive or whatever. Right. I mean, you know, the advantage there is you're at a meeting and you know, like the subject comes up and you, oh yeah, I did that. And you can mm-hmm. literally haul out your phone and call it up and show someone. I mean, there's some real advantages there because how many times have we wanted to show somebody something and oh, it's at home.
Right.
So right. I, yeah, it's, right. I think it's worth it. And I'm, you know, I love technology. I use it all the time, but,
right.
But I have not really applied it to needlework, in terms of this kind of thing. And so for me, this is going to be the first time to do a project like this and do it electronically, have everything electronic and, But OneNotes is the app that I use, and I use that extensively. I've really come to love that thing. Matter of fact, like when we're doing this show or any of the podcasts, I always do up a sheet of topics and questions and things so that we have something to guide us. And I used to print them out. I don't print them out anymore. I have them on my it's laying right here next to me on my iPad Pro, and then I have the I use the Logitech crayon electronic pencil and write right on it. And so I don't have the paper and make notes right on it. And like if, you know, technology, we end up with a break somewhere in the recording, I make a note of the time, and all that stuff is just done electronically now. I don't have any paper. And,
And I was watching my son do the same thing. He was on a Zoom meeting with his a Zoom class, and he had his little writing. He bought himself a little drawing tablet underneath, mm-hmm. and he was taking notes, and he's used to having two monitors normally. So he said, yeah, this is the pain. I've got to squeeze it down to my laptop. He's like, wasn't happy, but he figured it out. And, but it was interesting to me because, you know, I took notes when I went to college, but I took them on paper, and then, you know, you had to transfer. He goes, yeah, now everything in my class is all together. And right. So it's really easy for me to go back and look at things. And I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. And yeah. I know somebody, the school books are electronic now too, especially the engineering stuff.
Right.
So yeah, that would be fabulous. Yeah. So I just need to get over that leap. And I know we have OneNotes on our computer. So
I'm sure you do. Yeah. You got college kids. I'm sure you do. Cause well, see, that's where I got turned on to that. And if you go to OneNotes, and OneNotes is only for Mac, but I'm sure there are multiple things yep. for PCs.
Right.
But if you go to that, and those things all have come out of college kids, because you know, look back in your college days where you had a textbook and you had notes and you had lab notebook and all that stuff. Imagine if all that was in one spot.
Right.
And you could easily alter it, move things around. Because the other day when I was setting up the white work thing, I'm thinking, oh, man, if I'd had this technology when I was in school, what a difference it would make.
Right.
You know, all your classes in one device, textbooks, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mark on them, annotate them, all the right. things. Oh. And so then you start to think, all right, now a class like this white work sampler or a HAID or really right. anything.
Right.
You sit there, you make mark on it, draw, you know, I can't remember how to do this stitch. Go get the, an image of the stitch, how to, you know, the steps with, you know, up one, down two, drag it over, put it next to your chart right there on the screen. And then you have it. And there's just a lot of benefit. Yeah.
Right. Right. In fact, there was a discussion, and I don't remember if it was EGA or ANG's magazine, but about having electronic books instead of, you know, I do have some books that I use as reference for my needlework. And mm-hmm. I have not ever bought an electronic copy of them because I thought, you know, would I really use it? Well, I was going to go up to Chicago and take a Canvas class. And my thought was, I should download a book on my phone
uh-huh.
and have it, because it would had all the stitches there. It's it would be easy to read. And I was thinking, why, you know, and that's just, again, that's just, I'm old school. I'm used to having a book. I do like books. I like the feel of them.
Yeah.
But there's times when having it on your phone or having it on an electronic device is way more helpful than
yep.
lugging a book along with, you know, all your other stuff you really do need for taking a class.
Right, right. And I think we've been saying OneNote, it's good notes. It's good notes, not OneNote, good notes. And that's different from GoodReader. GoodReader is another program, is an excellent PDF reader program. And you can use that, put your charts in there, and you can highlight what you stitched in GoodReader. That's an excellent program. It's one of my favorites. But GoodNotes is three levels higher in terms of what you can do. And it really has me thinking about just kind of taking a different approach to all of the all of my needlework stuff. Yeah.
Right, right. And you just had me thinking, because I'm struggling with Montenegrin stitch. And I thought, wow, if it was up yep. on a screen instead of me flipping a
yep.
maybe I would make more progress on that lovely little piece than doing about an inch a night.
Right. But see, there's the thing. All right. And you know, copyright, you know, always sensitive to copyright issues.
Right.
But you take that little book, I forget who authored it, on the Montenegrin stitch.
Amy Mitten.
And you, the section you're doing, if you're turning a corner or something, you take a picture of that, you drop it into GoodNotes or whatever you're using to have your notes right next to your chart. You're looking at your chart, and there's the pattern, there's the stitch procedure that you have to have right there. And yeah, tremendous. You're not back and forth. You don't have two different things you're trying to keep track of. Right. Yeah, huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge. And I'm not sharing the book with anyone. You wouldn't share that. It would just be for your own use.
Right. Yeah. You're using technology for your own use. Yeah. You still got to buy the book from Amy Mitten.
Right.
Yeah. No, we're not cheating anybody's copyrights here.
No, but, no, absolutely. In fact, if she put it on electronic.
Oh,
that is a fabulous book.
Yep.
I'm going to raise my hand and highly recommend that book. Yeah. But anyway, that would be great if she made it electronic. A lot of books are going that way. Mm-hmm. And that's, and I'm glad, you know, I think that it's going to be more helpful as we move more into that.
Right.
Technology world. And no, this white work sample, it's going to be one of those things where you're going to, I think she set up Pinterest boards.
Yes.
And I don't really like Pinterest. But I'm thinking, okay, now I've got to really get that so I can go look at that, because it is helpful to look at images when you're working on something that complicated.
Yep.
And this white work sampler is going to be complicated.
Yes, it is. Well, and that's the thing, you know, there's Tricia, you know, that's the level that Tricia operates at, because we have history. We have a sampler that we're working on throughout the thing. So you have a whole section on how to do that. And then, yes, one and sometimes two Pinterest boards that you can go to for examples. And, you know, there's another example, a link to those boards right there in your electronic notes. And you just punch the link and up it comes. And how convenient is that? Yeah, I think we need to take a hard look at, because let's see, Jen. I didn't mean to
Jen
talk
Christie
about her.
Eight.
No, she's a black work person from England. It's not going to come to me. But anyway, interviewing her Friday, and she has a new book. I did not know she had a new book when I wanted to talk to her, but now I'm excited because she has a brand new book on black work. So I thought, well, I'm going to buy it, because I can have it before the class or before the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's available digitally, but will not be available in print till sometime next year.
Oh.
See, but that speaks to, it's easier to get it out digitally and, you know, if people want to print it. So I bought the digital version, and then there I am. All right. Now I have the digital version. I bought it through Barnes & Noble. So it's on my Nook app, but there it is. Now it's electronic. It's in the same device as GoodNotes and my other things. So now I have a black work book immediately available to me without hauling around the book.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and you know, just being able to zoom in on those stitches, you know, you can hold their eyes, you know, you can make that as big as you need to, big as your screen is, basically.
Yeah.
If you need to look at the stitches, and that's a great.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's I think we as needleworkers across the board that we need to start taking a look at just that. What can it do for us? Because mm-hmm. I think there's some real benefit there. Yeah.
Right. Definitely.
So, yep.
I got to go organize my white work. It probably won't happen. I'm hoping to do it while the college students are home. So if I get stuck, they can kind of help.
That's right. Yep. Help me out. Yep. Jennifer Goodwin is the lady that, she'll be coming up a show coming up in December, Jennifer Goodwin, all on black work. and just some magnificent stuff. And she has a new book out. And so now, yeah, I have that electronic. So very cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I think that whole thing is, and it's okay. This is going to get me in trouble, but you know, older people, we have obviously a huge amount of needleworkers in this hobby are older women, and technology is not something they grew up with.
Right.
But they can get help. You know, people will help them get set up because even there is a huge advantage that gets overlooked, the ability to magnify what you're looking at easily.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the screen, and to brighten it. So if you have failing eyes, you can see it better.
Right.
Another right. plus. See, and so you get your, you know, your daughter, your granddaughter, your whomever, best sons, to help you out and help you get it set up and show you how to use it, hold your hand, because mm-hmm. the benefit on the other side is huge.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And people are afraid of the technology, and it's you're afraid you're going to break something, you're going to do something really bad. Well, you know, for the most part, no, they make them pretty.
Yeah.
The technology now is pretty user friendly. I mean, the worst you could do is, you know, you delete a whole book and you're like, ah, what did I do? And even then, it's unless you really delete it, it's in your trash and you can generally restore
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, and if it's on a tablet or phone,
right.
it's backed up. At least it better be backed up. If you're not backing up your tablets and phones, you're just checking gas tanks with matches. But, yeah, it's backed up. So, if it blows up on you, so what? Get it off the backup.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. These days, there's very little to be afraid of when it comes to technology. In the early days of PCs and stuff, yeah, you could...
You
wreck
touched
things.
The wrong button. right. You know, something, it would disappear and it would disappear forever. Yep. And you're like, oh.
The old blue screen of death. Yes.
It doesn't happen so much anymore.
No. But that's, you know, that's the other thing is if you're older and your eyesight and you haven't worked with technology, have a look at it. Have a look at it because it could really... I would think for even some people, make it possible for them to do some stitching they haven't been able to do because of eyesight issues.
Right. And I know this is impossible right now with COVID, but I know our local junior college would offer technology classes for seniors or for anybody who wanted them.
Yep.
Obviously not right now, but, you know, it's going to open up again. I have hope. So when that all happens, it'd be worthwhile to take a class if you can't. If you don't have someone who can help you do it at home, it's worth it. It's worth it taking the time to learn. It's good for your brain.
Yes.
Talk about crossword puzzles. It's good for your brain.
Yep. Makes me think maybe we should do a show. Have to think about that. Do a live show and demonstrate some of this so people can at least be exposed to it.
Right.
Probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. You bought a casket.
Oh, gosh. Now you're going to move right into that, aren't you?
We're going right to caskets now.
Right to caskets. All right. Well, I have a friend who's going to be listening to this, and she's going to be like, you were supposed to tell me. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. You know who you are. So what sucked me in was Katie. I was on Instagram, and Katie, I can't pronounce her last name, Strachan, Strachan. On Instagram,
yes.
She has K embroidery. Anyway, she was doing a Zoom lecture for the San Francisco Needlework Design School, right?
Yes.
On her finished casket.
San Francisco School of Needlework and Design, yes.
So I didn't get to, for some reason, I couldn't catch that Zoom meeting, but I keep looking back at her photos of she had done trees. On her, the outside of her casket. And she made it sound like she'd done several of these. And then she did a small photo of her stumpwork faces. And I thought, I want to do that. That is on my bucket list. I am not going to be happy unless I sign up for this silly course. I'm just doing it. I'm signing up. So I did, and I don't regret it. I'm excited. I don't know when I'm going to start the silly thing. It's been on my bucket list since I saw, Mary Corbett posted Trisha's original start of this box, boxes years ago. And I was like, I've always wanted to do it. And I thought, I'm not getting any younger. I might as well start the course now and try to finish it, then wait another 10 years or, and you don't know. And that's the other issue. She has a site. If you join her, any of her classes, it's a private site called Ning.
This is Trisha Nguyen again.
Trisha Nguyen, sorry. Yeah. Yes. It's like a big community is what it is. And I went and read one of her posts about people taking advantage of her and her casket class. And I was just disgusted. People stopped making payments. They found someone else's copy of the lessons. Oh. And so they got the materials and then they were like, well, I don't need the rest of the lessons. I'm done.
Oh, come on, folks. Really?
And I just wanted to cry. I wanted to cry for her because I know the expense and the time she has put into these classes.
Massive, massive on both fronts. Expense and time, massive on both fronts. And not massive like $500 either. Massive dollars.
Yes. Of her own personal money to make these classes happen. And it just made me mad. And I thought, okay, I am tired of sitting on the fence. Cause I have literally been sitting on the fence on this class for 10 years. You know, whenever she started offering these caskets, I've been looking at them. And I've been going, maybe not. And I finally decided, no, that's it. I'm doing it. I'm taking the class. And I did blame Gary. I told her it was Gary's fault. He pushed me over the edge. But
there's no extra charge for that.
Yes. Fiber Talk made me buy it.
Yep.
That doesn't really fly at my house, but you know.
No?
No.
No. No. T-shirt's still available too, by the way. FiberTech, maybe.
In case you need one.
Yep.
But yes, I'm so glad I've signed up. I have.
Okay, take me through. So you sign up, you pay the fee, however you do it, doesn't matter. Pay the fee. Now, did Trisha ship you the whole thing?
No.
Parts come along at different times. How does this work?
It's coming along in parts. In fact, I haven't bothered her because I think it's a terrible time to bother people about something as trivial as a casket. But I'm wondering, I think some of the pieces are not here for this group, for this last sign up of caskets. So I think some of them aren't going to be here till August. So I know she's shipping them in because it's huge. It's a huge... Didn't she showed it on the first live video you did with her.
Yeah.
So I think it's like three separate, if you pay in full, it's three separate installments. But then if you're paying with the payment plan, it's like seven. So it's coming in a little at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's that massive download of papers. Of the instructions.
Yeah.
And again, people have said, I reread the comments about it one last time before I signed up. And people said, it's like taking a master's class. And I thought,
you have put this off and put this off and rationalized 6,000 ways.
And the thing is, a friend and I discussed it back and forth, and we're like, and it's like, we do not need this class. It's not like we don't have other things we could stitch. But the difference between this one and the white worker, I think any of Trisha's classes, is it is like you're taking a college class. It's not, you're just going to have something at the end. You're not, you can use it that way. You can just stitch the project. You don't have to read all the history. You can just stitch it.
Yeah.
But if you want, it can be a true learning experience. And I love learning, especially history.
Yep.
So I'll probably go and find a great courses CD to listen to while I'm doing some basic stitching on whatever period where she's going over, like 17th century samplers. I'll go find some Great Britain stuff and listen to history in that period, just to get in the mood.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Why not?
Right, yeah. Right.
But, so okay, and I know threads and bits and pieces and parts for those things. I mean, they're rather complex.
Right.
Are all coming, but now so you signed up now, and there's no requirement to do what the design she did. As a matter of fact, she encourages you to do your own. So, what is your thinking about what you're going to put on the outside?
Well, okay, so Allison Cole, did you see, I know you saw it, that Facebook post
in
Sassy Jack's Facebook page. So you have to dig through all of this. You have to go to Sassy Jack's. Her name is Patty, and she did a dragon on the top.
Patty Tronrud.
Yes.
Yes.
And that, I have loved Allison Cole's dragons. Every time I showed great self-restraint. She had a dragon class and I almost signed up for it, but I restrained myself. Now I'm regretting it because it would go great on the top of a casket. But my middle child, my middle son, had at one point in time a bearded dragon. And so if you go to Allison Cole's site, she has, I don't know what kind of lizard it is on her site. It's probably Australian. But I thought, I could put a bearded dragon on one side, a fat cat on the other. I don't know what I'd do for this, you know, but I'm thinking something different. It would be either something to represent my kids, something that they liked, or I'm not sure yet. I'm not that far along in my thinking. I'm hoping there's lots of basic stuff so I can make that decision as I go.
Okay. All right. Cause yeah, Patty Tronrud, I saw that. And I was going to tag you. I saw the picture and I thought, I got to tag Beth on this. But you were already way ahead of me on that. In the Sassy Jacks thing, yeah. Because I was going to tag you and make some snarky comment, and then no, you were already there. So just
you didn't need to make any snarky comments. I already saw it and was in love. I was like, oh, look at that.
Because it's stunning. Really? It's absolutely stunning.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And it's, you know what was, I'll tell you what it was about that. I'll tell you what it was about that. The dragon and all the work is stunning, but she didn't do a bunch of stuff all around it to take away from that dragon. It's all around it is very simple, and it really makes that thing just really just stand out in all of its glory. And I really applaud her for the restraint, because the temptation would be to do a bunch of things around it. And she showed restraint there, and it really, oh man, it's just classy looking.
Right, right. Yeah. And then Katie was talking about hers, and this was on Instagram, the one that talked at the San Francisco place.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying inside she hides little stitching surprises. And I thought, I'm thinking as you learn a technique, okay, I've got this casket, and in the casket class, we're going to make that, it's supposed to be a sort of a nightcap for cat or something. I don't remember. I don't know if you remember. And that's kind of the last thing. And I thought, well, what if you made that and you stuck it in my casket?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the perfect place for that.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I knew you were going to buy it. Okay. That I could tell. I could tell the first time you mentioned it, I knew you were going to get it eventually. So that, you know, it was, for me, it was just going along for the ride with Beth here. But but what I will really enjoy, two things. One is just seeing what you do design wise on the outside. Mm-hmm. But then what will I think will be the most fun vicariously is as you get used to the casket being around and all the little secret compartments and your mind has a chance to work, what you do with all of those, I think will be even more fun than what you do on the outside.
Right.
Just because there's so much opportunity for creativity there.
Right. And I think that's the other thing about, because I went back and forth still, because I thought, I really want to learn stump work. Is this the best opportunity to learn it? And I thought, you know, in a way it is, because it gives me a big surface to work on. But all the different techniques that are on there, it'll be fun to learn those and grow and design. And then she's there to help you. She's there to hold your hand and to encourage you. And I think that's the other thing. There's a whole community there to cheer you on if you take one of those classes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she does. Just my exposure to the white work thing, it's very clear that her classes are set up properly on all fronts, thorough, every opportunity to learn, every opportunity to get help. Yeah, no question about it. Yep.
Right.
Well, but
you knew I was going to take
it,
yeah. Huh?
Beth, come on, really? Really? I could tell by the tone of your voice the first time you mentioned it. Oh, she's getting one. She's getting one. God. It's just a matter of how long it takes her to rationalize it. She's getting one.
And I just jumped off the cliff. I thought, I must be nuts. This is what I need, another big class to take.
But, give you a hard time about it, but I don't blame you. You know, I mean, it's not for me. Like a casket, they're fascinating to look at. They're gorgeous, beautiful, stunning needlework, all those things. I really appreciate and admire what they are, but they just don't appeal to me. You know, it's just not my cup of tea. But if they are, and knowing that the ones like Trisha's put together were, you know, authentic on all fronts, and that there aren't going to be any more, that if you have any interest at all in doing it and want to own one of those things, you know, yeah, of course, dive in. And it's a significant expense and it's a tremendous commitment needlework wise, but do it, because as Trisha has said, there's going to come a time where they're just not available anymore.
Right. And for me, part of the interest in the caskets has always been is how are they made? How are you adding those panels to the sides? It's the construction. It's kind of like my engineering brain. How are they making that? How are they making everything fit together?
Right.
And putting all those sides on, putting the insides in, putting the paper in. There's construction in it.
Yep.
And I like that. I mean, I do like making those sort of things. Right. So,
well, see, it's ideal for someone like you, you know, dyeing things, all the things you guys do in the creative world of just making things and seeing how they come out. That is an ideal project for you because it hits all your buttons.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the history, all the different supplies, you know, it'll be fun. And I'm so tactile. So to see how they feel, because I've just been curious about it. It's going to be fun. I just cannot wait.
Yep.
But she's not shipping now. She's kind of holding off on shipping till January, I do believe.
Probably a good move.
Right. Right now is not a good time to ship anything.
Unless, no.
And it's not nothing like that. So I think it won't be shipped till then, and that's fine.
Yep.
I
mean, yeah, you're not bored.
I'm not bored. I got to organize my white work sample that we're starting.
Well, I will. I know I, for one, will really enjoy watching you work your way through it and seeing what you learn from it and the experiences you have with it, because I know you're going to have a great time with it. I have no doubt. And at the end, on the other side of it, you will have skills that you don't have now and experience that is hard to come by otherwise. So, yeah.
And for those who are curious and are interested in thinking, I'm not skilled in that, I'm worried about it. You know, I was like, how am I going to make those faces? Yeah. How am I going to make my stump work? And I've gone and looked at her gallery. I've looked at other people's pieces, and I'm thinking, you know, they all learned.
Yeah.
They all learned how to do it, you know,
pretty much.
They were all, you know. So I can learn too.
Yep.
So it's just a learning experience. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And you know, you have me sucked into Julie Faye Fan Balzer of Balzer Designs. It's your
You're
fault.
You're welcome.
It's your You're fault. But so I've been listening to some of her podcasts and reading her blog posts, she's definitely worth following, folks. It really is worth following. But you know, we were talking about what was that book? A Year of Yes. What?
Yeah, A Year of Yes.
Saying yes.
Right.
To things. Because this is what you know. This is what you just did with this casket. A real stretch for you on several fronts, but no, yes, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to work my way through it, learn from it, and get to the other side. And with any of this needlework, no matter what level you're at, I think it's an important thing to have in mind. Is do I think I can do it? Am I interested? Man, dive in.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just read something where it talked about if you're doing the same thing, even if it's good for you, you know, like crossword puzzles, whatever. And maybe this was from Julie. She was talking about if you're just doing it and it's a rote repetition. So you're saying, okay, yeah, I got this done, but you're not really making any progress. You're not learning anything new. Then yeah. Is that really what you want? You know, do you want to kind of push yourself forward? And that's, with this casket, I know, well, and the white work sampler class, I know too, it's going to be a push forward. It's going to be learning new things. You know, but if I say yes, since I said yes to these things, now I'm going to have to start saying no to things because there's just not enough time in the day. I have to start saying, no, I can't do that one.
Yep. Yeah. There's the other side of that coin. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Right.
But that whole concept of saying yes, when you know, there's a challenge there, you're not sure if you can do it, it sure interests you. It would be really cool to experience it. And it, you know, or you know, nah, I don't think so. I'm chicken. Nah, do it. Give it a whirl.
And I'm even thinking it wasn't that long ago that I really didn't stitch on 40 count linen. I thought it was too small.
Mm-hmm.
And I even remember, I mean, within the last few years, I had tried it and I was afraid. I was like, oh, you know, 40 count, you know, it's small. Can I stitch that small? And now it's like, oh, this isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, you just need, you know, good tension on your piece so you can see the weave and good lighting and maybe a little magnification and away you go.
Yep.
It's the same sort of thing. You know, if you don't try it, how you know you don't like it? And, you know, but if you try it, you might find that you really enjoy a new technique, you know, a new piece of fabric. It's worthwhile to just say yes.
Yep.
Try it. You might like it.
And at some point, it's just needle and thread. So if it doesn't work out, it's just needle and thread. Yeah.
It's just needle and thread.
Yeah.
No,
that's, yeah, I posted on Instagram here last week, a few days ago, whatever. I've been, my mountain biking. And I had a mountain bike for 5 years now. And I've just monkeyed around with it because I love riding my road bike out in the country for hours. You know, it's just what I just love it. And I bought this mountain bike and I've just picked away at it. And right, like 2 miles from my house, is a really nice network of trails, several of them challenging. And this spring, I said to myself, all right, if you're going to own this mountain bike and you're going to keep moving around the garage, you're either going to use it or get rid of it. So get your butt over there and teach yourself how to ride on these trails, ride over rocks and tree stumps and all those things. And so I have. I've made 70 trips since March over to this trail, this set of trails, and some of them I'll never ride. They're just too scary. But and I've forced myself, all right, and I did a lot of walking in the spring, a lot of walking, because I was afraid to go down some of these dips and so on and so forth. And I just kept plugging away at it. Thought, no, I'm going to try it. I'm going to get comfortable. I'm going to learn to trust the equipment, and there was always in this, there's two loops that I've learned, gotten pretty comfortable with, but there's one little feature that is this double dip. Like you go down easily 6 foot or more. Like it feels like it's straight down, back up over a hump, back down and back up. And there's a path that goes around that. and I always took that path because it looks scary. I mean, right. It truly looks scary. And it looks like at any point there, you're going to get caught, stop, and then get to fall off your bike and tumble down to the bottom of the little valley. And so, I'm not doing that, you know?
Right.
And then here in the last couple of weeks, I ride by, I stopped a couple of times. You know, I think now I could do that. But I never saw anybody ride it. And so it was the other day, there was a young lady, young to me, she's probably in her mid-20s, clearly knew how to ride a mountain bike, like clearly skilled. And she had stopped because paths have enough room for one rider, but they're two-way paths. So you have to pull over to the side sometimes to let people by. And she stopped, and I just a fluke thing, I said, hey, would you mind showing me how to do this feature? You know, thing. Yeah, she says no. Fine, you know. But right. I'm asking her to interrupt her workout, her ride, to help me. She said, sure. What is it? I said, well, it's this double dip thing over here. She'd never ridden it. She said, sure. I'll see if I can help you. And so I took her over there, and she walks up to it, gets off her bike, walks up to it. She says, oh, this looks like momentum will get you through this without any trouble at all if you just have a decent amount of speed going into it. And she says, let me give it a try. You know, and this is me after how many months of just riding around it. She's never seen it. Let me give it a try, you know.
Right.
The invincibility of youth.
Yeah, that's right, right.
Yeah. And of course, she does it like she's been doing it 100 times, you know. And she gets off and comes back. She says, yeah. She says, you just get up enough speed and the momentum will take you through it. And just you might have to do a couple pedals, but you'll get right through it. And as you go over that middle hump, you'll get enough speed up to get up to the next side. And she says, you want to try it? And she said, just stay back on your saddle. Don't get over the front because you go right over the handlebars. And see, that's the other part on some of those. You got to be careful. And all right.
That's now, what I would do. I would be face planted, but yeah. Go ahead.
And I've done that once and it ain't fun. All right. Now I've seen you do it. She's given me a little coaching. And so I said, yes. And I went for it. And by golly, the first time I got it. Right through it. Got it. She says, all right, now you want a video, right? Yeah, I want a video. So she did a video of the second time. But it was the kind of thing where for how many months I've been scared to death of it. And I got a little help and a little coaching. And it turns out it wasn't that big of a deal at all. It was actually a great deal of fun. And so I rode that. I thanked her, you know, and of course I can't give her a hug, can't shake her hand or anything, you know. And she went on about her ride. I did it 3 more times. It was so much fun. I did it 3 more times before I moved on. But it was that. And then, you know, we're going to talk about this saying yes. And it was, yeah, there it was right there. Just say yes, take a run at it. And it worked out. And
and here's the other thing. And here's the other thing. You made me think of this while you were talking is, you know, you were afraid. You finally found someone who could do it. And so yep. You ask for their help. I think sometimes with these, like a new technique, I know a lot of people, Linen again is a real breakthrough when you're moving from, if you're using Ada and you want to try Linen, it's like, oh, this is it's a scary thing. There's so much help out there anymore. On YouTube, online help. People want to help. And with new techniques, you know, saying yes to these things. Yeah, maybe it's new. You don't know. You're afraid to try it. But there's help. There's help for trying any of these new techniques. Anything new you want to try. And
yeah, you're not on your own for any of these things. No.
No. No. And I found over the years, for the most part, needleworkers generally tend to be very generous with help. My guild's getting ready to do a piece, and only the there's one gal who's leading it, and she's way ahead of all the rest of us. And I finally said, you know what? Because we were supposed to meet, this we started it. Oh, I think last year sometime, but March ended it, and we haven't met. And I said, all right, I'm going to set up Zoom, so it's a small enough group. Let's meet in a Zoom, and she can just help us with it. We can ask her questions that way. She can hold up her piece and said, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because everyone's terrified to work on this piece. And I just don't have time. I'm not afraid. I'm really not so much afraid of it as it's like, oh, start another piece,
Right.
but they've all bought a kit. They have the
Mm-hmm.
kits. And I'm like, okay, ladies, let's do a Zoom and let's get you help and let's get started on this.
Yeah.
So, and I think they were all afraid. And once I posted, let's do a Zoom, they were like, yeah, I'm in. I'm in. Yeah, let's go.
Yep. Help.
So
Yep.
just ask for help. And that's the other thing. Say yes. Say yes. And new techniques are fun. And ask for a little help.
Yep. Yeah, 'cause there's plenty of help, there's plenty of YouTube, there's people and the technology now, everybody's over the hump with technology when it comes to online sharing. So there are plenty of ways to see it visually and and understand there are more ways, more than one way to do these things. So, what somebody says does not mean that's it forever. There are other ways, or you learn that way and you say, no, I think I have a better way. Well, at least you got so you could do it. Yeah, it's.
And I'm going to suggest people. I have, like I said, I reached out to my group and said, let's do a Zoom. No one in my guild, in my embroidery guild, has reached the other way to me saying, hey, Beth, can you help us by setting up a Zoom or doing a video or some set of ask if you're afraid, if you're nervous about that sort of thing, reach out to somebody that is a little more techie who would help you
Yep.
and move in that direction.
Yep. People are willing to share
Right,
all the
right,
time.
right,
Yep.
right.
'Cause we've all been there and
We've all been there. And we've all needed help, and so
Right.
and it's just our way to pay back,
Yep. Pass it
pay
on. Make
back all the
sure
help.
somebody else
Pass it on.
has the same enjoyment. Yep, exactly. Yep.
And
All
share the
right.
love of it.
All right. Say yes. Give it a
Say
try.
yes. Join the casket class.
Well, all right, think hard about that before you do.
A few years.
That's gonna be fun to watch you. That's gonna be
Yeah,
fun.
it'll be fun.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
Yep. All right, that's it. We're done.
All right.
Let's see, who is Sunday? Oh, Sunday is Nicoletta Carbone from the magazine Juliana Recama. Yes. And a heads up about that we had to do through an interpreter. And so I'm going to have to, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to have to go through. And what I'm going to do is I'll ask the question and then I'm going to cut out the sections where the interpreter asked Nicoletta. So, because otherwise it's just gets too tedious. So I'll ask the question. And I had to go to a complete question and answer thing just because that was the only way it was going to move forward. So I asked the question, and then you'll hear Nicoletta in Italian and then the interpreter in English. So that should move it along, give it a little pace. But a really excellent a conversation about the magazine and about Italian embroidery and the world of the Italian embroidery hobby in general. It was really, really good. So,
Yeah, that'll be interesting to hear.
yeah. And
Very interesting.
plus Italian's fun to listen to, quite frankly. So, and out of that, I have two or three designers, Italian designers that Nicoletta put me onto. And
Great.
so I should be able to, I haven't lined them up yet, but should be able to get some interviews with some other Italians to learn more about, 'cause it's just a different world of embroidery and Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to learn more about that. So, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So that's Sunday. And Cindy Baldwin next Wednesday, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yep. All right.
Thanks for listening. If you're in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Gobble till you wobble.
Bye.